Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, April 25th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Secretary of State Blinken and Defense Secretary Austin meet with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky in Kyiv.
Emmanuel Macron wins another term as French president.
Stocks in China plunge on COVID concerns.
And Twitter grows more receptive toward Elon Musk's takeover offer.
A New York City firefighter has died in the line of duty, plus the Supreme Court is set to hear arguments involving the separation of church and state. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. The Mets and Yankees both won NBA playoff wins for Milwaukee, Miami, Denver, and New Orleans.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are falling this morning, coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 41 points. Dow futures down to 305, and NASDAQ futures down 110. 10-year Treasury up 21 30 seconds, yield 2.81%, and the yield on the two-year, 2.59%, and NYMEX crude oil is down 4.7%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll get back to markets in just a minute, but first, there is a significant diplomatic development in the war in Ukraine. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin met with President Volodymyr Zelensky in Kyiv. They announced $165 million in ammunition sales and said U.S. diplomats will return to Ukraine as soon as this week. Secretary Blinken says Ukraine will prevail on the battlefield.
Russia has already failed, and Ukraine has already succeeded because the principal aim that President Putin brought to this, in his own words, was to fully subsume Ukraine back into Russia, to take away its sovereignty and independence. And that has not happened and clearly will not happen.
Secretary of State Blinken was joined by Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, who says the U.S. wants to ensure Russia remains weakened.
It has already lost a lot of military capability and a lot of its troops, quite frankly. And we want to see them not have the capability to very quickly reproduce that capability.
Secretaries Austin and Blinken are the highest-ranking U.S. officials to visit Ukraine since Russia's invasion began.
Well, in France this morning, Nathan, politics front and center. Emmanuel Macron has won a second term as president. And we get more from Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix in Paris.
Emmanuel Macron defeated far-right leader Marine Le Pen on a pro-business, pro-European platform. He's the first sitting president to get a second term in 20 years. Macron is on course to win about 58% of the vote, compared with 42% for Le Pen, a narrower victory than their previous contest in 2017. The outcome is good news for investors who had predicted that a Le Pen victory would deliver a shock to markets on the scale of the UK's vote to leave the EU or the election of Donald Trump in the US. But the rise in support for Marine Le Pen's nationalist program also reflects a bitterly divided country. Speaking to supporters in front of the Eiffel Tower in Paris, Macron thanked French voters for trusting him after 5 years of hard times. He acknowledged many people voted for him only to block the far right and vowed to be president of all. In Paris, I'm Francine Lacroix, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Francine, thank you. In Asia overnight, stocks in China plunged almost 5%. A worsening COVID outbreak is fueling fears of a bigger slowdown in the world's second largest economy. We get more from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis.
Authorities have locked down some parts of the capital. Policymakers are racing to prevent a repeat of the Shanghai outbreak that has hobbled the city for weeks. Shanghai reported record daily deaths over the weekend. That the lockdowns could hurt growth, oil and iron ore tumbled in Monday morning trading. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. Well, back here in the U.S., we're focusing on Twitter. The social media company is growing more receptive to Elon Musk's $43 billion takeover offer. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Bloomberg sources say Elon Musk met with Twitter executives on Sunday to discuss his offer. Twitter's board initially countered Musk's proposal with a poison pill, which would make it more expensive for any investor, including Musk, to acquire stock beyond a 15% stake. Musk currently owns about 9% of Twitter. But the Wall Street Journal reports Musk says he will not adjust his $54.20 a share offer for Twitter. That's above Friday's closing price. The Journal also reports a deal could be finalized as soon as this week. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Corporate earnings are also in focus, with more than a third of the companies in the S&P 500 reporting this week. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Apple, Amazon, and other technology giants report results, as do major industrial, healthcare, and consumer goods companies. Sarah Malik is Chief Investment Officer at Nuveen.
What we're watching for earnings are what's the demand outlook, pricing power, supply chain issues. So going forward, we're so bullish that earnings will continue to drive this market higher.
This week we hear from Alphabet, Microsoft, Intel, and Texas Instruments, among tech names. Also this week, 3M, Boeing, GE, GM, Ford, Caterpillar, ExxonMobil, and Visa. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Another impact on earnings, employee pay. According to a survey by the National Association for Business Economics, wages increased at a record 70% of U.S. companies in the first quarter. About half of the firms surveyed are still reporting shortages of skilled labor.
There is a warning going out to Democrats, Karen, from one of their own. Senator Elizabeth Warren says her party could be in real trouble in this year's elections if it doesn't do more to deal with inflation.
I think we're going to be in real trouble if we don't get up and deliver. Then I believe that Democrats are going to lose. Democrats win when they do what, when they work on behalf of working people.
Senator Warren tells CNN Democrats need to push through legislation to tamp down soaring prices.
Christine Lagarde also speaking out about inflation. Nathan, the ECB president, saying both the U.S. and Europe are struggling to contain prices, but the challenges are different. Right now, half of Europe's inflation stems from surging energy costs.
I believe that we share the same resolve, which is to tame inflation, which is to use all the tools that we have to do so. But we're facing a different beast.
ECB President Christine Lagarde tells CBS's Face the Nation that if she raised interest rates today, it would not bring down energy prices. And you can catch Face the Nation every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio. Futures are lower this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thank you. 507 on Wall Street. We're at 47 degrees in Central Park. We got a couple problems going both ways on the Garden State Parkway. We'll get to the details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr's here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Officials say a New York City firefighter and a civilian have died in a Brooklyn house fire where a ceiling partially collapsed. Acting Fire Department of New York Commissioner Laura Cavanaugh said, a 31-year-old firefighter, Timothy Klein, was a 6-year veteran of the department.
The incident commander identified deteriorating conditions and ordered all members out of the building. As they were doing so, there was a partial collapse of the ceiling. 4 members were caught in that collapse.
Commissioner Cavanaugh said 8 other firefighters were also injured in Sunday's blaze, and another resident sustained minor injuries. Mayor Eric Adams mourned Klein's death, saying the city had lost one of its bravest. Meanwhile, Mayor Adams also talked about crime in the city.
We removed 1,800 guns off the streets of our city since I've been elected, 1,800. And so we're putting in place the foundation of dealing with the immediate needs of violence, but we're also stopping the pipeline that causes children to get involved in violence.
Mayor Adams made his comments on CBS's 60 Minutes, which aired last night. Jury selection begins today in one of the highest-profile U.S. Capitol riot trials. A former New York City police officer is accused of assaulting a Washington police officer on January 6th. Thomas Webster was a former New York City police officer once assigned to the detail of a former mayor. He's charged with assaulting police at the Capitol on January 6th with a barricade while carrying a flagpole. Prosecutors are expected to show jurors body camera video of the confrontation. Webster is also expected to argue self-defense against an officer who was overstepping. The Supreme Court is set to hear arguments today in the case of a former high school football coach in Bremerton, Washington. Joseph Kennedy was fired by the public school district after refusing to stop praying on the field after games. Kennedy says his First Amendment rights were violated. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. It's an early season struggles, and yet here are the Yankees right now tied for the best record in the American League. They had their most lopsided win of the year, and they had their first series sweep. They beat the Guardians at the stadium 10-2. Anthony Rizzo got them going. Two-run homer first inning. They were up 6-0 in the third. Plenty of run support for Garrett Cole, who got his first win. Get a nice ovation from the crowd.
Obviously, nice. It's just a nice day. Overall, really well-played game. I thought it was just a good finish to the series. We fought hard and really just put a cherry on top and played a complete three games.
The fans at the stadium behaved themselves after what happened on Saturday. Yanks off tonight. They'll host Baltimore tomorrow. Mets with a 6-2 win at Arizona as Tyler McGill improved to 3-0, and the Mets have won every series they've played this season. They have a four-game lead in the NL East. They're in St. Louis tonight. That's a battle of early-season National League division leaders. Final week of the NHL regular season, Carolina beat the Islanders 5-2. That puts the Hurricanes 4 points ahead of the Rangers. The team's fighting to win the division. The Canes will face the Rangers at the Garden tomorrow. At Barclays tonight, Nets and Celtics, game four with Boston going for the sweep. There was some hope that facing elimination, the Nets would have Ben Simmons in the lineup for the first time ever, but citing a sore back, Simmons will not play to stay alive. Nets need a better game from Kevin Durant. He has been decisively outplayed in the series by Celtics star Jason Tatum. Milwaukee and Miami both won on the road, lead their series 3-1. Denver stayed alive, still trails Golden State 3-1. New Orleans beat Phoenix. That series tied at 2. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. A risk-off morning with S&P futures down 45 points, Dow futures down 330, NASDAQ futures down 126 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 30 seconds, the yield 2.82%. NYMEX crude down 4.9%, down $5.01 to $97.04 a barrel. We look at these markets next with Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly sunny today with highs in the low 60s. Chance for a few showers tomorrow with a high near 65. By Wednesday, it turns partly sunny but cooler, upper 50s. Right now, 47 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks and commodities are tumbling as China's worsening COVID outbreak compounds fears sparked by faster Federal Reserve tightening. Bonds are rising. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 47 points. Dow futures down 340. NASDAQ futures down 135. The DAX in Germany is down 1.9%. 10-year Treasury up 21.30 seconds. Yield 2.81%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil is down 4.8% on $4.91 at $97.20 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.9% or $16.70 at $1,917.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0738 against the dollar. British pound 1.2740. The yen is at 128.11 and Bitcoin this morning lower, down more than 3% at $38,290. Today we are watching for earnings from companies including Coca-Cola, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Ukrainian officials say the U.S. Secretaries of State and Defense have met with President Volodymyr Zelensky in Kyiv. French President Emmanuel Macron has secured another term in office, handily defeating his far-right opponent, Marine Le Pen. Macron won a second term with roughly 58% of the vote. Le Pen got about 42%. In MLB, the Yankees and Mets won. The Red Sox and Orioles lost. The Giants beat the Nationals 12-3. The A's won. Tonight, it will be do or die for the Brooklyn Nets as they try to stave off elimination from the Boston Celtics. They will play game four tonight. Also in the NBA playoffs, the Warriors lost to the Nuggets. Golden State still has a 3-1 lead in that series. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Dennis Gartman is with us this morning, chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee, and, of course, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, as we see deep red for risk assets on the screen this morning. It seems as though, Dennis, tell me if I'm wrong, a lot of this is driven by concerns about COVID in China. How much further could this go?
I think, fearfully, it could go quite a good deal farther to the downside. I've been bearish of stocks since January 5th of this year, been very consistent about that fact, and actually had the university reduced the size of its portfolio by 12 to 15% on December 31st of last year. For my own account, I got stopped out of a lot of long positions on Thursday and Friday of last week. I'm happy to be basically as flat as I've been in a long period of time. The Fed is tightening monetary policy, long overdue, something that should have been started 2 years ago. They're going to be reducing their assets rather consistently over the course of the next 2 or 3 years. And the overnight Fed funds rate is going to go higher. So I think you have problems here for a period of time ahead, and you have to be very, very careful. So this is, I think people are trying to explain that today's move predicated upon COVID. I think it's more to be attributed to the fact that the Federal Reserve Bank has become, has exited QE and is beginning quantitative tightening. And I think we're going to be in that position for a long period of time. So be very careful. This is going down a long way, I'm afraid.
How far do you think it could go? I mean, give me a number.
I'd prefer not giving a number. The best that one can do, I've been in the business for almost 50 years, and if you get the direction right, that's the best you can do. So things are moving from the upper left to the lower right. They're going to continue to move from the upper left to the lower right. Mark this down. They'll continue to do so until they stop. So putting a number on it, that's almost silly. The best that one can do is get the direction correct. So what bothers me is the use of margin has been declining. That's always one of the signs of a top in the market. The Fed is, that's clearly going to be deleterious to share prices. So as I've said, be careful. I think it goes down another 5-10% from here, at least, maybe more.
Now, we have seen Fed funds futures price in multiple 50 basis point hikes in upcoming meetings here. Do you think that continues if we do see demand destruction in commodities, if this China COVID situation continues to play out like it is at the moment?
I think the Fed clearly will tighten monetary policy by at least 50 basis points in the upcoming May meeting. I think their propensity to move 50 and 50 and 50 again has probably been reduced, but they're clearly going to move by 50 basis points at the meeting in 2 weeks. Then I think it's up for grabs, but I think they're going to continue to tighten through the course of the year. But will they take it 200 basis points higher than where we are right now by year's end? I have my doubts at the end, Rich.
What does that tightness mean for the growth? No problem. Sorry. What does the tighter Fed mean for U.S. growth going forward? We've got a lot of discussion about whether the U.S. is headed for a recession either this year or next. What's your view on that?
Two things to watch. And one, I wrote 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that if the Fed begins to take the overnight or takes the 2-year above the 5-year and takes the 2-year above the 10-year and then has crude oil above $110 a barrel, recession is almost a 90% probability. I think that the former is going to happen. The 2-year is going to go to a premium over the 5-year. The 2-year is going to go to a premium over the 10-year. But clearly, the slowing circumstances globally have put downward pressure upon crude oil prices. So instead of saying that there's a 90% probability of recession this year, I reduce that to 30 or 40%. Better than even, but still the odds of a recession have been reduced just because crude oil prices have fallen rather precipitously. Pay attention to what's going on in crude oil. The fact that we've gone from $110 a barrel to, what are we now, $90 a barrel, and the term structure is narrowing, that's a material change in the course of the past month and a half. So I think it's illustrative of the deleterious circumstances prevailing in the economy. Be careful. That's the best thing I can say. Be careful.
All right. Be careful. And we'll leave it there. Thank you, Dennis. Great, as always, having you with us. Dennis Gartman, chairman of the University of Akron Endowment Investment Committee and former publisher of the Gartman Letter. Red headline just crossed the Bloomberg terminal moments ago. The global route wipes out negative yields from the company bond market. We'll continue following that for you. Right now, S&P futures are down 47 points, a drop of 1.1%. Dow futures down 346. NASDAQ futures are lower by 139 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 21 32nds now. The yield, 2.81%, and the yield on the two-year, 2.60%. Just ahead, Biden's cabinet visits Kyiv, and Twitter gives Elon Musk's takeover offer a second look. There are top stories of the morning. Minutes away. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Partly sunny today with highs in the low 60s. We'll be near 65 with a chance for a few showers tomorrow. Turning partly sunny and cooler Wednesday. Upper 50s for highs. Right now, 47 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. And we begin in Ukraine, where U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin met with the President Volodymyr Zelensky. Austin says Moscow's already lost a lot of military capability, and he wants that to continue.
We want to see Russia weakened to the degree that it can't do the kinds of things that it has done in invading Ukraine.
U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, along with Secretary of State Antony Blinken, met with Zelensky in Kyiv. The U.S. promised over $700 million in financial assistance for Ukraine and its allies. Blinken also announced diplomats will soon return to the country.
Part of our commitment going forward involves a number of things that I was able to share with President Zelensky yesterday, including the return of American diplomats to Ukraine starting next week.
Secretaries Austin and Blinken are the highest-ranking U.S. officials to visit Ukraine since Russia's invasion began.
Well, meantime, in France, Karen, Emmanuel Macron secured a victory over far-right leader Marine Le Pen in the country's presidential election. Macron becomes the first incumbent to win a second term in France in two decades.
In China, stocks and currencies are slumping as a COVID outbreak is stoking fears of a lockdown in Beijing. U.S. futures and European shares are also dropping. Dow futures are lower, down 312 points, and the S&P is down. Our futures are down 42 in early trading.
Back here in the U.S., Karen, it is another big week for earnings. Tech giants Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, and Microsoft all report this week, as do many major industrial, healthcare, and consumer goods companies.
And while big tech reports earnings, Twitter is growing more receptive to Elon Musk's $43 billion takeover offer. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Bloomberg sources say Elon Musk met with Twitter executives on Sunday to discuss his offer. Twitter's board initially countered Musk's proposal with a poison pill, which would make it more expensive for any investor, including Musk, to acquire stock beyond a 15% stake. Musk currently owns about 9% of Twitter. But the Wall Street Journal reports Musk says he will not adjust his $54.20 a share offer for Twitter. That's above Friday's closing price. The Journal also reports a deal could be finalized as soon as this week. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And again, S&P futures down 38 points, Dow futures down 281, and NASDAQ futures down 107, 10-year Treasury up 19 32nds, yield 2.82%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, 47 degrees in Central Park. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. A New York City firefighter was killed and others injured after a house fire in Brooklyn. More than 100 firefighters were at the scene of the three-alarm blaze. Mayor Eric Adams says 31-year-old Timothy Klein was one of four firefighters caught in a partial ceiling collapse.
It gives us a great pain and sorrow to announce that New York City has lost one of its bravest.
Mayor Adams also says a civilian apparently died in the blaze. The Supreme Court is taking on a dispute between public school officials and a former high school football coach who wanted to kneel and pray on the field after games. The case before the justices involves Joseph Kennedy. He is a former football coach at Bremerton High School in Bremerton, Washington. The school district asked him to stop the prayers. Kennedy's lawyers say the Constitution's freedom of speech and freedom of religion guarantees that he is allowed to pray on the field. The Biden administration is appealing a federal judge's ruling to end the mask mandate for passengers on planes, trains, and buses. The termination of those CDC travel restrictions come as COVID cases are rising in places like New York City. The new commissioner of health in New York City, Dr. Ashwin Vasan, says he is disappointed.
Number one, from a public health standpoint, wearing masks in indoor settings is safe. It's a safety issue. And planes, trains, and automobiles and public transport are really important higher risk locations because of the duration of exposure.
Dr. Vasan also says it really undermines trust when some city teachers got fake vaccination cards. The Axiom 1 spacecraft undocked from the International Space Station and will return to Earth. Axiom 1 brought the first all-private crew to the orbiting lab. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. John Stanshauer has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The strong start to the Mets season continues. They won 6-2 at Arizona as Tyler McGill improved to 3-0, a home run for J.D. Davis. The Mets have now played five series. They have lost once and only once in each series. They play a little better team now. The Cardinals are in first in the NL Central. Max Scherzer, St. Louis native, on the mound for the Mets tonight. Yankees' first sweep of the season ended with their most lopsided win, 10-2 over the Guardians at the stadium. The Yankees were up 6-0 by the third inning. Home runs for Anthony Rizzo, DJ LeMahieu, and the seldom-used Tim LoCastro. Garrett Cole able to get his first win, able to lower his ERA down to 4. Yankees are off tonight. At Barclays tonight, Nets face elimination. Celtics go for the series sweep. Nets coach Steve Nash, after the Game 3 loss, asked if Kevin Durant's quiet series is the biggest problem.
I think it's the unforced turnovers. I don't think Kevin has to go off. You know, we shot a good percentage. We moved the ball. It's just the ones that we just gave up, you know. Poor decision-making, not connecting, simple passes, and they're going the other way. You know, that's, to me, has been the difference in all three games.
The Nets, of course, made the big trade with Philadelphia, shipped out James Harden. The key player they got in return was Ben Simmons. Simmons didn't play at all for the Sixers this year due to some mental issues, and then he hurt his back while getting ready to play for the Nets. He was said to be set to make his Nets debut tonight. Would have been his first game in nearly a year, but Simmons woke up with his back still sore. He's not going to play. Milwaukee and Miami with wins at Chicago and Atlanta. And the Bucks and Heat have 3-1 series leads. Denver won. Still trails Golden State 3-1. New Orleans beat Phoenix. That series tied at 2. John Stashelli, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thank you, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York City's urging Amazon shareholders to vote against the re-election of two of the online retailer's board members responsible for human capital management. The city and others say they oppose the re-election of Dan Huttenlocher and Judith McGrath, saying they've failed to provide adequate independent oversight over workforce issues. Union mental health workers employed by Sound Community Services went on strike Sunday. They want better conditions at a mental health care nonprofit in New London, Connecticut. The union says state leaders have outsourced public mental health work to nonprofits in order to cut costs. Catalent has agreed to buy Irritec's cell therapy manufacturing facility in Princeton for $44.5 million. Irritec has a phase one trial in first-line pancreatic cancer ongoing in the U.S., and is talking with the FDA about other developments. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about top business economists saying that companies are paying more in wages and for raw materials, but passing those costs along to consumers.
I'm Courtney Dunahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Lockheed Martin and the union at its F-35 factory reach a new contract.
I'm John Tucker for WBBM in Chicago. I'm reporting U.S. airlines are facing a pilot shortage.
I'm Caroline Hepcom, Bloomberg DAB, Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on how 1 in 10 companies in the UK have been failing to provide reporting on modern slavery, a legal requirement, as the regulator says firms must do more.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting BMW has promised to continue producing internal combustion engines.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. The bailouts of the past few decades, necessary as they were, have created a growing expectation. Whenever there's distress in markets, central banks must step in. Now, some are suggesting they backstop commodity markets, too. It's a bad idea. Commodity traders play a crucial role in the global economy, but their process is heavily dependent on borrowed money. Now, some fear that a financing crunch could disrupt the flow of materials to end users, such as power plants. Still, a bailout would be hard to justify. The world's trading firms remain profitable, and their current financing challenges are largely their own doing. It's possible to imagine a scenario in which central banks have no choice but to intervene. For example, if a complete cutoff of Russian energy exports sent commodity prices skyrocketing. That time, fortunately, has not come. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. S&P futures down 38 points. Dow futures down 288. NASDAQ futures lower by 108 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, partly sunny today with highs in the low 60s. A few showers possible tomorrow. The high near 65 will be in the upper 50s, turning partly sunny by Wednesday. Right now, 47 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks and commodities tumbling as China's worsening COVID outbreak compounds fears sparked by faster Federal Reserve tightening. Bonds are rising. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 31 points. Dow futures down 242. And NASDAQ futures down 75. The DAX in Germany is down 1.4%. The 10-year Treasury up 18 32nds. Yield 2.82%. Yield on the 2-year 2.60%. NYMEX crude oil is down 4.3% on $4.42 at $97.68 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.9% or $16.80 at $19.17.50 an ounce. The euro 1.0742 against the dollar. British pound 1.2738 and the yen at 128.17. Bitcoin this morning lower, down 2.4% at $38,580. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. After a secrecy-shrouded visit to Kyiv, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Russia is failing in its war and aims Ukraine is succeeding. The trip by Blinken and Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was the highest-level American visit to the capital since Russia invaded in late February. Crews are fighting a fast-moving wildfire in New Mexico. Firefighters in Colfax County near Las Vegas are battling the Cook's Peak Fire. The flames have expanded to more than 48,000 acres. In MLB, the Yankees and Mets won. The Red Sox and Orioles lost. The Giants beat the Nationals 12-3. The A's won. In the NBA playoffs, it is do or die tonight for the Nets. They have to beat the Celtics in Game 4 of their series to avoid being eliminated. The Warriors lost to the Nuggets. Golden State still has a 3-1 lead in that series. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by More. more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak with a focus on politics overseas this morning, because French President Emmanuel Macron is heading for a second term after defeating nationalist leader Marine Le Pen in yesterday's runoff. Now, Macron gets another 5 years to convince French voters his pro-business, pro-Europe vision will work for them. Let's get more now. Joining us live from Paris, Bloomberg's Caroline Conant. Caroline, good to have you with us this morning. And I look at the results. Macron beat Le Pen by a 17-point margin. To this American's eyes, that looks like a landslide. But we got kind of a somber victory speech from Macron last night. What's the takeaway?
There was a huge relief on the Champ de Mars at the feet of the Eiffel Tower last night, where Emmanuel Macron celebrated his victory for this second mandate for another 5 years. But clearly it was not the same landslide victory that we had back in 2017. At the time he had won with 66% of the votes against that same national rally leader, Marine Le Pen. Last night he only won with 58% of the votes. So clearly the margin was not as wide, meaning that there is a large proportion of the French who felt left behind, who felt like he hasn't really dealt with their daily issues when it comes, for example, to energy, inflation, the issue of the cost of living, or even their concerns about immigration or Europe. So clearly this is something that Emmanuel Macron will have to address in his next mandate. And there is a sense of responsibility here, because last night he said, I will address all the French, including those who voted for me only to block Marine Le Pen, and including those who voted for the extreme. I am accountable for what happened, because he knows that he will be held accountable if an anti-establishment far-left or far-right candidate gets to power next time in 2027.
And it sounds, Caroline, as though that sort of sets up where the next round of voting is going to happen in just a couple of months here with parliamentary elections. How is now President Macron setting the stakes for the parliamentary vote that's coming up just in a few weeks here?
This is what everybody calls the third round of these presidential elections, meaning the parliamentary elections happening mid-June in France, because even though Macron got a clear majority last time around 5 years ago, it might be more difficult this time. His party, Republic on the Move, has performed poorly in previous local cities and regional elections over the past couple of years, and clearly those who voted against him in this presidential election from the far right or the far left will clearly try and get a majority in order to prevent Emmanuel Macron from really doing the policies he wants to implement over these next 5 years. For example, Jean-Luc Mélenchon, this far left candidate who came third in the first round with about 22% of the French votes, actually said last night the third round starts tonight. He called the French to vote for him in order to get a majority in parliament, because if that happens, that means Emmanuel Macron will be forced to choose a prime minister which is different from his party, and that will actually make it very difficult for him to really govern.
So the politics continue in France. Thanks for this, Caroline. Good having you on with us. Caroline Cohen, on Bloomberg Paris correspondent, joining us from Paris this morning. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
A federal appeals court in New Orleans upheld President Biden's firing of the top lawyer at the National Labor Relations Board. Many tobacco-free nicotine products could linger in stores beyond a summer deadline. The Food and Drug Administration was given the power to regulate the products, and it still has to come up with policies. A federal court challenge was filed after Florida Governor Ron DeSantis moved to block what he calls corporate wokeness, in which workers are taught they should feel guilty over their race or gender.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thank you. And now another legal story we're watching. Many people can recite the Miranda warnings thanks to TV shows like Law & Order. Now, the landmark Miranda decision is before the Supreme Court again. It's clear that Miranda bars coerced confessions from being used in court. But what's not clear is whether a police officer who fails to give Miranda warnings can be sued civilly for violating a suspect's constitutional rights. The justices will answer that question. And for more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Bloomberg Law reporter Jordan Rubin.
Jordan, explain the central question here.
So the question here is whether the failure to give Miranda warnings can give rise to a federal civil rights lawsuit. Now, for such a lawsuit to go forward, there needs to have been a violation of a constitutional right. And so that's what raises the question, is whether this Miranda right is a constitutional right or something else. And that's been a long simmering question, and that was the focus of this argument.
Miranda was subject to a lot of criticism in the 80s and 90s, and a decision by Chief Justice Rehnquist put that to rest.
Right. So that was really interesting, the Dickerson case in 2000. As you mentioned, Rehnquist and other conservatives had long been critical of not just Miranda, but it was really a part of a series of these Warren Court era criminal procedure decisions, part of this so-called criminal procedure revolution. And so these really became the opinions that were not liked on the conservative side. But in a 2000 case, Dickerson, Rehnquist actually wrote an opinion, a 7-2 opinion, effectively upholding Miranda when he obviously could have disagreed with it. And so really the question in this case now is, what exactly did Dickerson mean in some subsequent cases as well? And so it's not just the fact that Rehnquist didn't overturn Miranda, but what exactly was he doing there? And so that's really where a lot of this case is going to be decided.
And how did the justices interpret Rehnquist's decision?
It was pointed out by some of the more conservative justices that Rehnquist was careful with his words and didn't exactly refer to Miranda as a constitutional right. He referred to it having constitutional underpinning, sort of a constitutional essence to it, if you will, but specifically not saying constitutional right. And that distinction could wind up being very important in this case, because remember, the question is Miranda a constitutional right that can give rise to such a federal civil rights suit like the one that Mr. Tico is trying to bring here?
And the chief who clerked for Rehnquist was one of those justices, saying that he was very careful with his language. Did you get a feel for how many of the justices might decide that Miranda does not provide a constitutional right?
So I think that it was fair to say that some comments from Kavanaugh and Barrett were also along the lines of the chief justice.
And that's Bloomberg Law reporter Jordan Rubin speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And again, futures are moving lower this morning. S&P futures are down 35 points. Dow futures down 265. NASDAQ futures down 96. 10-year Treasury up 18 32nds. The yield is at 2.82%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.60%. NYMEX crude oil falling, down 4.3% on $4.41 at $97.67 a barrel. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.